This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Macklemore and Ryan Lewis's 2012 hit song, Thrift Shop. They sing about a particular kind of vintage-loving style.
I'ma take your grandpa style. I'ma take your grandpa style. No, for real. Ask your grandpa, can I have his hand-me-down? Thank you. Velour jumpsuit and some house slippers. Dookie brown leather jacket that I found. Dig it.
Now, Macklemore isn't the first hip-hop artist to sing about style. There's been a lot of that lately. Jay-Z, Kanye West, Justin Timberlake. And even these guys are late to the party. In the past decade, men's fashion has surged back into the mainstream with reality shows and fashion blogs celebrating the well-dressed man. Well, men with that kind of sartorial savvy were once called dandies. The history, sociology, and craftsmanship behind some of the world's most famous dandies are now on display at the Rhode Island School of Design in a new exhibition called Artist, Rebel, Dandy, Men of Fashion. The RISD show is the focus of today's Artery segment, where we talk to the region's leading artists about an event that excites them. Kurt Columbus is the artistic director of the Trinity Repertory Company in Providence. He joins us from the studios of Rhode Island Public Radio. Welcome to Radio Boston, Kurt.
Thanks, Meghna. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure to speak with you. So let me ask, before you went to this exhibit at RISD, what was your conception of what dandyism is?
Well, I had sort of a limited idea about it. I equated it with a kind of foppishness and a kind of glamour. And also, I thought it was limited to folks like Oscar Wilde, in which I was partly right. But but this exhibit showed me the error of my ways, my linguistic ways.
Okay, and how did it do that? Because quite frankly, until relatively recently, I thought that dandyism and foppishness or an excessive interest in clothing was exactly how it was defined.
Right. Okay, so dandyism, it turns out, is a response to foppishness. There was a guy in the early 19th century named Beau Brummel. He was a kind of minor English nobleman, and he hated the French fops. And his attention to detail, his sense of style in a restrained but elegant manner, was what became the hallmark of dandyism.
I've read that Brummel was born at roughly the end of the 18th century in Britain and was known for fantastic things like taking 5 hours to dress and polishing his shoes with champagne, supposedly.
Yep. Yes. And here's the other fact that I found out from the exhibit. He died actually penniless and sort of completely slovenly. What he did was he overindulged in all of these men's clubs to the point where he couldn't get out of his house anymore. He was just kind of big and overweight, and he lost all of his money. And so this commitment to polishing your shoes with champagne sort of was his downfall as well. It's a very cool thing to know about.
on the other hand, he gave rise or was one of the forces that led to, you know, what's now the heralded tradition of bespoke clothing on,
right,
you know, London Savile Row, for example.
Yeah. It's really interesting. You know, Meghna, when you walk into this exhibit, you're confronted with this portrait of Beau Brummel, and he's a, you know, kind of dapper but not overly done guy. And then almost immediately, there's this beautiful tailored coat in a glass case. And you look at it, the story of the coat is that a gentleman in the mid-1800s couldn't pay his tailor's bill. So the bank took the coat as payment and kept it there now for nearly 200 years.
Huh.
And that's how it ended up in this exhibit. So you can see almost immediately kind of the finery of this fabric, and it's still there, this bespoke coat, 200 years later. It's extraordinary.
It's an absolute counterpoint to our disposable
exactly.
Sort of mass fashion that we have
That's
today.
That's right. And the idea that somehow your sense of fashion is defined by other people, you know, that celebrities make your fashion or that a big name store makes your fashion, as opposed to you Beau Brummel or these other dandies sort of saying, this is my path, this is the way I'm going to be. And it's a really fascinating part of the exhibit.
Now, I understand that one of the unique things that this RISD exhibit does is, while it's about dandyism, the clothing isn't necessarily the center or the heart of the exhibit. It's really about, in addition, the men who wore it and what sort of their lives meant. Specifically Richard Merkin, right?
Yeah, right. So the leaping off point for this exhibit was a RISD teacher by the name of Richard Merkin. He was a painting teacher at RISD, and he was a famous local Rhode Island dandy. He actually appeared in GQ magazine in the 1980s. And he wore these fabulous bespoke clothes around the RISD campus. And when he died, he made a gift of his clothing to the museum, and that was actually the inspiration for the exhibit. But here's what's really interesting. You realize that it's actually not just men, nor is it just like white English Anglophile men. Mm. Dandyism has, it transcends gender, it transcends culture and sexuality. It's like this embrace of your own sense of style is something that anyone can be a part of. And that's really what this exhibit shows. You have dandy clothes from Patti Smith, you know, the famous punk rocker, and her clothes are her own that she took out of her closet and sent to the RISD Museum. But you get to sort of imagine this woman deciding to have this personal sense of style. And it's one of the great, great things about this exhibit.
You know, a little earlier, I heard you say that dandyism really transcends gender, it transcends mm-hmm. sexuality. But I was wondering if the RISD show had anything to say about dandyism and sexuality in particular, because, you know, popular notions of it, I mean, right. You mentioned Oscar Wilde. people might, you know, just continue to presume that a man who carries himself about as a dandy may also be gay. Does the show say anything about that?
The show doesn't specifically address it, but of course I went in with that same, you know, as a gay man, I go in thinking, well, this is going to be all gay men. In fact, nothing could be further from the truth. The show gives representations, you know, photographs from African and island cultures where you can see dandies in these slums of the various countries, and you realize, oh, those guys are as much of the culture in that place as they are in the kind of received dandy culture in London bespoke arena. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's a great, I have to talk about this, Magna, because there's this amazing photographic exhibit by a British-Nigerian artist named Yinka Shonabare. And Shonabare places himself in the narrative of the portrait of Dorian Gray photographically.
Oh, wow.
So what he does is he breaks the expectation that it's going to be this white man in an English setting. So he's really challenging your expectation of what the dandy is. And it's this giant wall in the exhibit. It's so breathtaking. Now, I will say, one of the highlights for me was seeing they have the sole remaining piece of clothing that Oscar Wilde owned is a shirt that he had made when he was in Paris. And he was living under the pseudonym of Sebastian Moncrief. So the monogram is SM. And the only reason they have this shirt is that, you know, because he was living in exile. When he died, he was completely in debt. They sold all of his clothes, they sold all of his effects, but they left behind a little laundry ticket, and his grandson went and claimed the shirt, and it's been in the family ever since.
Wow.
And it's the last remaining piece of his clothing. So there's a historical beauty to this as well, to this exhibit as well.
Well, let's hope that modern-day dandies don't meet such tragic ends. But, Kurt, the last question I wanted to ask you is that, you know, it occurs to me that you're the artistic director of a Tony Award-winning theater company.
Mm-hmm.
And this way of being of dandyism that we've been talking about, it's both visual art, because mm-hmm. obviously it's a feast for your eyes to see how these people who care a lot about their dress, how they do present themselves. Mm-hmm. But it's also something of a performance, is where there's a theatricality
Absolutely.
To it.
Yes.
And so I was wondering, you know, from your perspective as being part of the theater world, how you reacted to walking through this exhibit.
Yeah, on a couple of levels. First of all, it's a RISD exhibit. So one of the things that I love about this little underappreciated New England museum is their exhibits dance between various media. So you have video next to painting, next to fabric and textile art, and in this case, next to couture. And so the exhibit sort of invites your question. So just to say that about walking in there, I was like, this is why I love coming to the RISD Museum, is that sense of my presence being essential to the exhibit taking place is always part of what they do. Mm. But again, looking at Oscar Wilde's shirt and thinking about this is an artist who challenged the ideas of his time simply by who he was. And throughout this exhibit, Magna, you'll encounter someone. There's Fred Astaire's tuxedo and then an image of Fred dancing. And you think, this sense of dandyism doesn't actually live in a static way. It only lives in the lived, performed way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that, for me, was really gratifying as somebody who makes his life in a performative art, knowing that sometimes the fixed object can only take you so far. It's the thing in context that really gets you to know it.
So in this case, it's the man who does make the clothing, or the woman,
indeed,
ultimately.
Indeed.
Well, Kurt Columbus is the artistic director of the Trinity Repertory Company in Providence. He spoke with us today from the studios of Rhode Island Public Radio. Kurt, thank you so much.
It's entirely my pleasure. Thanks, Magna.
And the RISD Museum show Artist Rebel Dandy is open now through August 18th. There's more information at our website, radioboston.org. By the way, dandies of the world, I invite you to follow me on Twitter. I'm at MegnaWBUR. That's MEGHNAWBUR. You can also follow us generally here at Radio Boston. That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.